Well, good morning again, everybody. Before I begin, the scripture today that we will be looking at deals with the loss of a child and chronic illness. And I realize that this could be triggers for many of us who've experienced such pain or have loved ones who've experienced such pain. So I want to invite you to pray that we might all hear a message of hope today. Will you join me? Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be wholly pleasing to you. Your word is powerful and alive and has the capacity to change us. Lord, give us willing spirits and a gentle heart that we might respond when we see the invitation for a God who is with us in the hard places. Lord, may your scripture speak anew to us this day. Amen. So again, I am Pastor Kath Kaminsky. I am a friend of Pastor Joy. I am a church planter here in Lincoln for Beacon Community Church, which hasn't even officially launched. Actually, Friday was our 100-day to launch countdown. We currently only meet on the first and third Sundays. We're up in the Clinton neighborhood, which is near and dear to my heart, because besides being a pastor, I'm also a paraeducator at Clinton Elementary. But one thing I have in common with Pastor Joy is we both moved here at about the same time. So I moved here in September 2019, all ready to follow a traditional path of starting a church. But something happened a few months after I moved here that sort of was a little bit of a hiccup in that plan. I don't know if any of us could anticipate the ramifications of a global pandemic, but let me just say that it has added a little bit of complications along the way. Now, I don't say that to be light. I know a lot of us have suffered greatly. I have friends who've lost loved ones. In the previous church that I served, we lost members to COVID. The reality of our world in this moment is heavy. But what I love about the scripture reading this week and scripture in general is that it addresses the complicated. It takes a look at the real struggles of life and invites us to understand how God can be at work in the hard places. So today we are going to be talking about the bleeding woman. Now there are scriptures that are difficult and we can easily read them with a passing glance and just continue on our way. But we have an invitation as a community of faith to go deeper and to ask God to give us understanding and to do it together. It's why we gather on a Sunday morning. It's why we read scripture, because God's word is good and useful for teaching, rebuking, and training in righteousness. And we can go into difficult passages and ask God, what are you trying to show us this day? So I don't know if you have pew Bibles or if you brought your Bible to church. You can also just listen. But I'm going to read Mark chapter 5. This is the gospel reading in the lectionary this day. I'm going to go ahead and start in verse 21. Hear these words. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly for him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I can just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt her body that had been freed from its suffering. At once, Jesus realized that the power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowded against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they had said, Jesus told them, "Do not be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion, with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. And after he had put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him, went in where the child was, and took her by the hand and said, "Talitha kuma," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. This is the word of the Lord. I love that. "Do not tell anyone about this." 2,000 years later, we today get to look at this passage because the story did not stay here or end here. Now, I know you all just met me, but do you trust me? I don't know, maybe you're skeptical. I hope you're not too skeptical, because I want to invite you to a little imagination exercise. I want us to put ourselves in the shoes of the bleeding woman. So if you do trust me, I'm going to invite you to go ahead and close your eyes. And if that makes you feel uncomfortable, that's okay. Just listen. We all participate in different ways. Imagine one morning you wake up and there's a new pain that had never been there before. Do you think it's nothing? Maybe a sign of getting older, or perhaps you just slept on it wrong. And yet, as the day progresses, the pain doesn't go away. In fact, as the days continue, the pain starts to permeate into every area of your life. Something is just not right. You go to one doctor, and they don't know what to tell you, and another, and another, and another. You pay for remedies that bring no relief. Days turn into weeks. Weeks turn into months. Months turn into years. 12 years have passed. You've spent your life savings trying to get well with no relief in sight. And each day you rise and your world is consumed by this illness. It has made you withdraw from community. It's hard to participate even with your family. You have become the other. Go ahead and open your eyes. Here's my question for us. How would that affect your faith? Here's what gets me about the story of the bleeding woman and keeps me coming back to this passage in Scripture over and over and over again. It's her faith. It doesn't make any sense to me. Imagine the pain that she must be going through. More than this, in a Jewish context, if she was bleeding, that would make her ceremoniously unclean, which means for the last 12 years, she has been not allowed to worship with her community. She has been pushed to the side, Not only is she going through this struggle, she's also been isolated in the process. Would you have faith? I don't know about you, but I would be angry. I would be frustrated. I would question and doubt. And please hear me. I believe those reactions can be godly as well. When we tell ourselves that we must have the answers at all time and put our best foot forward, we are not being honest with God, and it does not allow us to wrestle in such a way that grows our faith. Here's what gets me about this woman. Even after 12 years of endless suffering and isolation, pain, and being ostracized, remedy after remedy that brings no relief, doctor after doctor with no answers, spending all she has, when she hears of what Jesus is doing, she responds with hope. Another thing I love about this story, it's not even supposed to be about her. This is the story of Jairus, the synagogue leader, who goes to Jesus and asks him to come bring relief to his daughter. I can't help but see the correlation of this 12-year-old girl that this family has grown to love and now is filled with angst at the potential of losing their daughter, and this woman who's been suffering for 12 years. The emotion that grows in that period, whether it be love or pain, and that Jesus enters both their story. Now, I do not think it is happenstance that this woman goes by, or even that 2,000 years later we are reading about her story. I think it's funny because this encounter could have gone unnoticed. This was a customary response in this time as Jesus is living into his call and ministry and healing people. Everywhere he goes, crowds come in and press and desire and yearn and throw themselves at his feet, calling for healing. And with all these people pressing in, this woman could have reached him, been healed, and Jesus continued on his way. But Jesus stops, and I can't help but ask why. And I believe it's because there is a powerful truth and hope found in her story that he wanted the crowds and the disciples to recognize. The scene is comical when he asks, "Who touched me?" Can you imagine? There are hundreds of people pressing in, and as he walks, Jesus says, "Who touched me?" I feel like maybe the disciples' reaction was edited. I would have said, Jesus, everyone's touching you. No, maybe just me. Who touched me? Jesus is drawing to the forefront the experience and the miraculous encounter of this woman in her suffering. I love that both Jairus and this woman throw herself at Jesus' feet. She comes in fear. And I wonder, what is that fear? Is it fear that's awe? Is it fear that she's done something wrong? I don't know. But what I do know is that her life has been transformed in this moment. And Jesus wants the crowd to know it's been transformed. Now, have you ever heard of prosperity gospel? You might have heard it without knowing that it has a label. But basically, it's this idea that your faith will always heal you, that good things come to good people, and if you just believe right, say the right things, do the right things, God is going to bless you. Has anyone actually experienced that? Because I know a lot of good people who have gone through some very hard things. And while it seems like a message of hope, it's actually a transactional experience. If you do this, then that. If you live right, then God will love you. Well, my friends, the gospel is not based on what you and I do, but it is a gift of grace for all who believe. Amen? Amen. Yes, in this instance, and for Jairus' daughter, earthly healing comes. But in the span of life, these two individuals will still face the full brunt of death. I think what we can learn from this story is how to understand that God is with you in the depths of your pain and sorrow. Feel the emotions, the anger and the frustrations and the doubt. Bring them to God, knowing that your response is actually a reflection of his character, because he did not create us for death. He created us for life, and he has been on a rescue mission ever since the Garden of Eden. He is seeking with an abundance grace that all of us would know the life we are created for, and would go so far that he even sends his son to die that we might all join him in that resurrection. That when we respond to suffering with anger and frustration and sorrow, that's not something we should flee from or think somehow is faithlessness. But recognize that that is the character of God that is within us, because we are image bearers made to reflect the life he intended for us. And in our pain, let us turn to him with every doctor that has no answer, every remedy that does not bring relief, and every day that passes, and we still carry the burden of this broken world. Because the truth is, God always has healing for us, even if that doesn't mean cure. Hear that again. God always has healing for us, even if it doesn't mean cure. And faith might just be that healing. Because when we put our trust in our Creator, it gives us hope, perspective, peace, mercy, and comfort. Because we have a God who will go to the depths with us. He is before us and behind us and beside us and with us. This moment did not go unnoticed by Jesus. And because of that, this day, we all get to reflect on this story and how Jesus interacts with this woman. Let it be an invitation for us. When we are in places of loss, of discomfort, of ailment or sickness, can we push in? Can we reach even just the hem of his cloak, knowing it will bring healing, even if it means the struggle continues? Can we be honest about the emotions we experience in those places and still allow the journey to propel us forward towards God? If you haven't experienced hardships, you will. again, God created us for life and life to the fullest, but we exist in a broken world. It's why Jesus first came, and it's why he's promising to come again. It's why we as the church don't just miraculously get lifted up somewhere when we give our lives to Jesus. We get to be a part of bringing God's light to the world around us. We get to be with that person who is isolated in their pain. We get to be with that person who is continuously hurting or who has lost a loved one. We get to be the hands and feet of Jesus who also push in. So my prayer for all of us, maybe, just maybe, we can have faith like this bleeding woman. And in the places that are hard, may we come together and point one another towards the one who always brings healing. I invite our singers to come forward and also for you to pray with me.